Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
God bless those poor people in Florida with Milton heading that way and almost survivor's guilt here because the weather's so nice. A little touch of fall outside. Not cool, really, I don't think, but the humidity's down, and it's going up to 86 today. Sunny and nice tomorrow, highs of 84, 82 Friday. And then they're saying the first kind of real cool front come next Tuesday with high temperatures only in the upper 70s, which will feel really nice. Arthur Sturbco joins us now, our friend, local real estate analyst. How you doing, Arthur?
Good morning, Tommy. Doing great.
What is the state of the real estate market in the southeastern Louisiana area?
A little bit depressed right now. Obviously, hurricane season is on everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. We sure don't need to be reminded about what a hurricane does to a market, but it's certainly on the mind of some buyers as well. Added to, of course, our insurance issues we've talked about ad nauseum. But it certainly slowed down a bit. The good news is that the interest rates have really calmed down and has brought some buyers back into the market. So prices, if homes are priced right, they're selling in a couple of days. If they're not, then there's an issue. But certainly some sellers are now starting to adjust their prices based upon the insurance premiums that the buyers are looking at.
How does either the seller or the buyer know that the home is priced right?
Well,
beforehand, after it's over, I mean, everybody realizes, I guess, that it was the right price, but beforehand, Arthur?
Well, you can still look at comparables. You know, what are other properties in the neighborhood selling for? And just as important, what are other properties on the market that are staying on the market priced at? Mm-hmm. So that's probably as good a benchmark as what's being sold. So if you see your neighbor's homes and it's been on the market for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, and you see his price and your home is just like it, well, I would strongly suggest that unless there's something really weird or strange inside that home, you better adjust your price accordingly to underprice it from what your neighbors is. So a good realtor is going to have a good handle on what the comparable sales are, what the pending sales are. Sometimes those don't really appear in the multiple listing service. So you may see a home that's listed for, let's say, $300,000 and it showed pending. Well, it's not going to show the actual sales price until it goes to an active sale. But many times a realtor or an appraiser can call the selling broker or the listing broker and say, look, this is just for comparable purposes. Do you mind letting me, know what the price is? And sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes they won't. Confidentiality, they're really not supposed to. But sometimes, mm-hmm. If it's for just a comp and they know the agent that's involved, then they'll probably be open with you and help you price your property. When cooperation with realtors is pretty widespread.
Somebody texted this in. I do want to bring the audience in at 504-260-1870. Arthur's a vastly experienced real estate agent, so if you got any questions about the home buying process or selling process, text them into the Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line at 504-260-1870. Somebody texted this in, and this could apply to my home as well. Not that I'm even thinking about selling it, but my kitchen hasn't been touched since 1993, I think, when I built the house. So it's still got the formica and the cherry cabinets and all of that kind of stuff. When it comes to upgrading a house or giving the seller a blank canvas, how do you know where to put money into it and when you're going to get that money back, when it's going to increase the sale of the house, when you're just wasting money? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and it's nice to hear that your kitchen belongs to the Smithsonian, Tommy.
It does. But you know what, Arthur? Let me tell you this, my friend. It's going to come back. Trust me. 10 years from now, everybody will be doing that again.
I still have some wad ties. I'm still waiting for those to come back, too.
Yeah,
the best place to start finding out what's attractive, find some magazines that are on the shelf. Go online and look at some of the the homes and the kitchens and see what people are really looking for. And of course, locally, the best thing to do is consult a realtor or a couple of realtors and ask them for ideas and suggestions. They're going to know. Many times they're selling homes with their dated kitchens, and they're getting the feedback back from their buyers of, you know, oh, gee, we're going to change this up. We're going to change that. Oh, my gosh, Formica. Oh, my gosh. We, you know, or, hey, you know, Formica doesn't really bother me because Formica now looks so – they make it so it almost looks like marble. So
not,
if you've
not
got
mine.
Some dated Formica – probably not.
Mine's white.
But you have to also take a look at, you know, do you want to replace those marble counters with, you know, some strange – I would hate to say strange color, but let's just say – an unusual color that's not going to go with most people's, you know, furnishings when they move in. So sometimes if you are going to make a change, do something that's fairly muted or going to be attractive to most people, not something you particularly like that's just according to your taste, but something that's going to appeal to most people. So if you are going to make some radical changes to your kitchen, which I always approve of and I strongly suggest, it's probably the best place you can make improvements and get your dollar back. Make sure that you put, whether it's light fixtures, plumbing fixtures, put something in things in there that are going to be widely received by people and going to, oh, this is really nice. You know, and good idea is just simply go to your local, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot or other appliance type stores and see what's out there if you want to spend the time to do that. But a good realtor could give you some good suggestions.
What about not spending anything and leaving it as a, quote, blank canvas? Is that going to cost you money?
Well, maybe not. It depends on how blank what your blank canvas looks like.
Kitchen from the 90s, and you can, you know, do whatever you want with it.
Well, if the floor plan is great and the house has been well-maintained, the landscaping looks great, the front door has been freshly painted. That has always been a key thing for me. You
really?
Paint the front door. Oh, absolutely. I tell this to people all the time. When people come to the front door, they don't even realize it, but they see the front door. That's the first thing they really see. The landscaping in the front, of course. But when they see the front door and it's worn and the paint's all faded and, you know, the door handles are all chipped or whatever, people think, well, gosh, and what is the rest of the house going to look like? What else are they not taking care of? So the best thing to do, I always tell people, if you have a front door and it doesn't look like it's in pristine condition, repaint the thing. And the first thing that happens when people repaint the front door is then they start looking at the rest of the trim and they go, oh, wait, well, now the door looks great, but now look at the rest of the trim. It looks terrible. Yeah, right, it does. You should have painted that too. So it kind of leads into the next step of upgrading the paint on the exterior if that's all faded and looks worn too.
And even if the paint is good, I would think you want to, you know, because first impressions everything, right? You get the cobwebs off, do a little pressure washing, do a little wipe down, make sure everything's clean when they see the front door, because then from there they judge everything from that.
Correct. And don't paint a chartreuse or something weird. You know, find something, again, that's going to be, you know, generally accepted by the public. And if somebody wants to custom paint it afterwards, that's fine, but make sure that it looks nice. You know, freshly painted anything, it smells good, smells fresh, looks great. And it looks like it's in good condition. The home is in good condition, been maintained.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Arthur Sturbco. We'll talk about specific areas when we come back. Somebody texted in about, y'all are talking about kitchens. What about bathrooms or other specific rooms? Somebody else wants to know about interior paint colors. Somebody else wants to know about exterior paint colors and the trends with the outside of houses, specifically that now everything is white and soft gray, it seems like. So should you paint your house to look like that? But if you do, what if it changes in a year? You're still trying to sell a house. Oy vey, 621 traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Bonnie Carey Spillway, no delays to report in either direction. However, I-10 East Kenner 2 downtown New Orleans, heavy delay starts right at about Loyola now. Two veterans where an accident is clearing. Traffic remains clear to downtown from there. I-10 West New Orleans East to downtown, no problems there. Downtown elevated clear to the flyover. Flyover lightly congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown, wide open in both directions. Huey P. Long in the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Health System.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, having a conversation with Arthur Sturbco, local real estate analyst. Arthur, what are some of the hotter areas, hotter places in the area, I should say?
Well, one of the hottest areas right now is in the Covington area. There's a tremendous amount of road improvements that are being done in the Covington, Abita Springs area, all going out to that Hammond area. So insurance certainly is getting people to take a look at that area, and that seems to be pretty hot right now. The other areas that are good, of course, are always going to be in those iconic neighborhoods uptown around the universities and things like that. Belchase, of course, with all the construction down there, the LNG plant down there. For your listeners who have not been down there to see that thing, it is something to behold. It is incredible. That whole, just the parking lots for the trucks are incredible. They're bigger than the Superdome. It's incredible.
Yeah, them trucks got to get in there and back. You know what I'm saying?
Past your house, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, at some point they'll stop, but it looks like that's still going to be a while. But they're going 100 miles an hour.
But
down
wait,
there.
There's the bridge mess as well, David. Wait, Arthur, there's the bridge mess as well. You forgot about that, so you can add that in too. Somebody texted in about exterior color of homes, and there is an area they're building in Belchase off of the Belchase Highway, and it seems like every home is white with black or gray trim. Is that the new trend? And how often do these trends change, if you had to guess?
Well, yeah, that is kind of trendy right now. That kind of black and white motif for exterior paint on a lot of newer construction. But they're so good. When you say white, I mean, if you go to these paint stores and you get the paint samples, you go, well, how many different kinds of white are there? There is a brown white. There's a gray white. There's a red white. I don't know what. Listen, I'm colorblind, so I'm the wrong guy to ask. I'd find a realtor that's not colorblind or go to a paint store and say, what should we use? One of my favorite stories when I used to be with builders and with buyers at the same time, the buyer would say, or the who was getting ready to build, what color do you think we should put on the exterior? That was the last thing the contractor wanted to say, was give that man and that woman a color. I mean, no matter what color they picked out, it was going to be wrong. Oh, no, whatever you think. No, that's a personal choice. You have to make that choice. I don't want to get in the middle of that. They just knew that was a no-win situation.
Some movie where the woman's picking her colors and it's like sunset crimson and eggshell this and that and the other, and the painter tells the contractor tells the painter white, yellow, red, and blue, because that's what it turns out to be, right? Thank you, Arthur.
Exactly.
Take it easy.
All right, Tom.
Pleasure
Thank
as always.
You.
Arthur Sturbco, local real estate analyst. When we come back, we can talk to David Schultz. He's a professor of political science at Hamline University. We'll get the latest on the presidential race. A lot going on with back and forth about FEMA. And now Bob Woodward's book, but is it going to change anybody's mind? We'll see when we return on WWL. 6:45, quarter till 7. Weather's going to be nice here. Real cool front coming in next Tuesday. Highs then only in the upper 70s, so we'll wait for that. Meanwhile, hope and pray for the people in Florida, because we know what it's like to sit and wait and wonder. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University. How you doing, professor?
I am doing great, and I hope you're doing well.
I am. The hurricanes, both Helene and Milton, have kind of factored into the race. I don't know. They've entered into the race. I don't know if it's become a factor or not, the response of FEMA. One spinning it one way, one spinning it the other way. I don't know what's true or what's not. Either way, is it going to have any effect on the people that are going to determine the election?
It doesn't look like it at this point. What it might have an impact on, and we just don't know yet, is in terms of voting. Let's, you know, and again, we first hope that nothing's going to be really more devastating, you know, in Florida, you know, but we know from some past hurricanes, I think it happened in your state with Katrina, that it altered voting patterns where people were, and it had some impact on voter turnout. And so it could potentially have impacts in terms of, you know, some voting in Florida, and, you know, maybe Georgia and so forth. So Georgia is a possibility where North Carolina, depending on what the path of this hurricane is going to be. You know, we know Helene went through North Carolina, maybe affects the voting in two of the swing states, but it's just still not clear in terms of how it's going to affect actual voting in terms of who can show up or not show up. And it's possible that it might affect, you know, some perceptions. And I say all the possibles because the race is so close in those two states that it, moving a couple thousand votes here or there, you know, could be determinative for the race.
You said Florida and North Carolina, right?
I meant to say Georgia.
But what about North Carolina? Because that's a swing state as well, and they were hit really hard. I heard Trump say that it was Republican counties or Republican areas that were hit hard. He was concerned about people getting to the polls, telling them to crawl if they had to, et cetera. Is that going to have any, and that's all, you know, political hyperbole, I guess, but is it going to have any practical effect, as far as you know, on people being able to vote? Or here's a question, I guess, Professor, could Helene in any way swing the presidential election just from the logistics of people voting, et cetera?
It's possible at this point. Now, we still, of course, have several weeks to go. What do we have, about 25 days before the election, approximately, you know, and it is possible in some of those more western parts of North Carolina, which are much more likely to vote Republican. It's possible that the difficulty of getting to vote, or let's just be honest here, you know, if your house has been devastated, you're probably more worried about your house than you're worried about whether or not you're going to vote. And I'm not criticizing anybody, but that would be my priority in life too. So it is possible, again, in a state where the polls are indicating that the race in North Carolina is razor thin. Again, a few thousand votes could be enough to sway the election one way or the other.
Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert last night drinking a beer, and I guess she's just being herself, laughing and having a good time, it seems like. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is pushing doom and gloom, and I don't know. Again, does any of this matter other than when you look at those thousands of voters that are going to determine the election?
That's really what it's going to come down to at this point. It's just those few thousand voters. Again, you heard me say this before, 150,000 to 200,000 voters in about six states are going to affect the election.
Just a little bit slower so people understand. Say it again.
Yeah. What's going to happen here is that at the end of the day, there's only about six states that are going to really matter in the election. And within those six states, I've been arguing that across total, all six states, about 150,000 to 200,000 voters are going to actually decide the election.
And give me those states, if you can, just for people that don't know.
Sure. So it'll be Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Maybe we add into it North Carolina. If we push it a little bit more, maybe we add to it Nevada. So if we go there, we're up to seven states. But still, my point being is that at the end of the day, 150,000 to 200,000 voters are going to really decide this election. And it's not clear if these are people who are truly undecided versus, and therefore, I don't know if I'm going to vote Trump versus Biden. I doubt there's anybody out there like that at this point. I mean, Trump versus Harris, I meant to say. Or is it people who are saying, I'm not sure if I want to show up to vote or not. But in either case, it's an infinitesimally small number of people. Again, when I say 150,000 to 200,000, I'm not meaning in each state. I'm meaning across all those five or six or seven states.
It's incredible when you think about it. All the money that's being spent, all the attention that's being directed at the election, and I saw a piece on CBS News last night where I think it was one state that they're just putting up blue dots or red dots, trying to make it a little bit more civil, and blue pumpkins and red pumpkins instead of specific people just to voice their preference, whether it should be red or blue. We'll take a break, pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. 150,000 to 200,000 people across six states. So what is it? What is it that they're looking for? What do we know about these people? We'll find out more when we come back. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. I-10 East Kenner 2 downtown New Orleans have moderate delay between the airport area and Veterans. Traffic does clear to downtown from there. I-10 West New Orleans East to downtown and slowdown begins between Reed and Crowder. Light congestion continues to the high rise. Downtown elevated slow but steady from St. Bernard to the flyover. Flyover moderately congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection West Bank to downtown. Light congestion begins at Terry Parkway. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. This has been a look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
657, 3 till 7. Somebody texted in about, Tommy, it's clear your candidate is going to lose. I've not expressed a preference on the candidates. I've detached myself, David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, because it doesn't matter in Louisiana. It doesn't matter who I vote for. But you know what does matter? Down ballot races. So for people that hear about, and somebody texted us in, it's another good point about whether you think your presidential vote matters or not, your down ballot vote definitely matters. And with that in mind, what about the congressional race in the Senate? What's that looking like? What's it shaping up to be as far as you can tell?
What it looks like right now is that the Republicans have an edge to be able to pick up both Montana, which is held by a Democrat, and West Virginia, held by a Democrat. And if they were able to do that, they would be able to flip the Senate to Republican control. Right now, the House is just too close to call. I mean, what's going to be interesting about it is that it looks like the decisive House races are going to come down to races in California, in New York, races where the Democrats 2 years ago took for granted that they were just going to win these races and lost them. And so now they're competing for them again. So it's incredibly razor close in the House. And this is sort of the story for everything. If you think about it here across the country, the presidential race is very close. The Senate race, or its control for the Senate, is very, very close overall. And for the House, I mean, we are such a divided country at this point. I mean, if just about 50-50, even though some states like yours or mine might be more Democrat or more Republican. But overall, it's an incredibly divided country right now, with each side, you know, almost like, you know, equally matched in terms of votes and support. And this is important to think about, because after the election, winners always want to claim mandates. When the dust settles, we're going to probably get somebody who wins with maybe 50% plus 1% of the vote, or one of the House, or one of the parties has bare control of the House or the Senate. I don't think anybody can really claim a mandate, but they're going to do so. And in the era of winner take all politics, are going to act as if they won an overwhelming victory.
We're out of time now. Next time we have to pick it up with, it's one thing to campaign and win an election, it's another to govern. And I don't know if the congressional races are being ignored by the presidential candidates, because if you have a Democratic president and a Republican House and Senate, chances are not, a lot's not going to happen. Or if you have a Republican president, Democratic Senate, Democratic House, not a lot's going to happen. So we'll pick it up there next time we talk to you. When we come back, we're going to talk to David Elias, orthopedic surgeon with Ortho LA. Talk about Derek Carr's oblique injury on WWL.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.